ever becomes a chameleon, that is, changes its nature.
So Krishna, maybe I can take it here. So this is another lesson which we can learn from the wind. Thank you very much. Although a self-realized soul may live in various material bodies while in this world, experiencing their various qualities and functions, he is never entangled, just like the wind is never entangled, which carries various aromas but does not mix with them. This is very important, that you may live in Berlin like our Kunya Bihari, but he should be like the wind moving through Berlin, not becoming entangled in the cinemas and in the life. I'm using him as an example because he is soon a Brahmin and he has these qualities. There are many, many lessons which we can learn from air, earth, water, sky. And I'm looking for one more lesson which I would like to tell you. The lesson which fire can give us. Just as fire manifests differently in pieces of wood of different sizes and qualities, the omnipotent Supreme Soul, having entered the bodies of higher and lower life forms, created by its own potency, appears to assume the identity of each. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that although fire is present within smoldering wood, it blazes forth when we stir the wood around. You know, like you have a fire in the fireplace and it's almost going out, and then you move the logs and immediately the fire blazes. Similarly, although the personality of God is indirectly present everywhere, when we chant and hear his glories with love and devotion, the Lord is stirred into manifestation and directly appears before his devotees. I think this last lesson is maybe the most important lesson for us. Fire, when it's small, can become big and visible when we stir it around. In the same way, as fire, when it's small, cannot be seen very easily, Krishna cannot be seen so easily in this nature. But if you chant his holy names, then he comes forth just like fire blazes forth when you stir the firewood. In Indian philosophy, this point, bringing out Krishna, is a very important point which we have to learn. Bringing out Krishna, who is hiding everywhere, is really the process of bhakti. Once there was a monk who came to a village of atheists, and the atheists told him, "Can you show me God? Only when you show us God will we believe in him." So the monk said, "I'm thirsty, so much philosophy all this, let me first drink a glass of milk." So they brought milk to him, and then the monk didn't, instead of drinking the milk, he said, "Can you show me the butter in the milk, the butter in the milk?" The atheist said, "No, well, that's very difficult to show you the butter and the milk. You have to stir the milk. Then only, the butter will become visible." So the monk said, "Ha, Just like there is butter invisibly hidden in the milk, Krishna is invisible in all of his creation. We have to stir a little bit and Krishna comes out. Just like we stir the milk, and then you will see on the side of the stirring spoon butter as comes and you can eat. In the same way, when you chant Hare Krishna, you stir Krishna into manifestation. That is the example which we can learn from the fire. We can bring it out by a certain method. So to bring out Krishna, I would love to teach you a simple meditation. We call it the mountain meditation, and it's very, very powerful. Last week I was in hell. I went to the dentist, and the dentist was drilling my tooth, and after he was finished, he sent his assistant out and said, "Oh, you are glowing. You are so alive." And I said, I was afraid. I was swear that I lose my life. No, you are very spiritual. This fear comes and goes, but you are very spiritual, and I would like to give you a present." I said, "Wonderful. What is it?" He said, "First of all, I want to ask you for a favor. Then I give you my present." So, okay, I said. "It is this," he said, "I want to be more spiritually grounded. And if you pray for me, I give you my present. That is, this whole treatment is for free." So I had to pray for him. but I also gave him the mountain meditation to become more grounded. And this is what I would like to do with you here. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam which talks about this mountain meditation. It says, "Just as devotees whose minds are absorbed in the personality of Godhead remain peaceful even when they are attacked by all sorts of dangers, the mountains in the rainy season were not at all disturbed by the repeated striking of the rain-bearing clouds." So devotee should be like a mountain. So much rain comes on the mountain, so much wind blows to the mountain, but the mountain remains fixed. So in the same way, a devotee whose mind is absorbed in Krishna remains peaceful even when he is attacked on the dentist, in the dentist chair. No, that is not here in the text. It means even when he is attacked by all sorts of dangers. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, like always, sheds a certain light on this mountain meditation. He says, although struck by torrents of water, the mountain does not shake, but rather it becomes beautiful, being washed of dirt. Similarly, a devotee afflicted by the pains caused by his body, mind, or other entities is not disturbed because his mind is absorbed in the Supreme Lord. In fact, just like the water is washed clean, when a devotee has difficulties, he becomes more humble. Isn't it, Ratna Bhushan? Absolutely. When we have more difficulties, we are washed, like Damodar Priya is so washed by the difficulties which are sometimes there because we still need a few more pujaris in Goloka Dham. Huh? So these difficulties which come into our lives We should be like mountains, not shaking, because we know it will wash us. It will wash us of bad karma. Thus a sincere devotee welcomes difficulties. Because of his humility and surrendered attitude, he remains free of pride, envy, and other bad qualities. You know what a man who has gold does with his gold? He puts it in the fire, because then the gold is purified. This is the same thing which Krishna does with his gold-like devotees. He puts them in the fire of ordeal, Prüfung, so that the devotees become more pure, not less pure, not less faithful, but more pure and more peaceful. So I told my dentist, when you are in difficulties, do the mountain meditation. What is this? I said, okay, sit down here. Now I am the, I am telling you what to do, and you listen. And he said, very good, very good. So here it is. First, sit comfortably. If possible, sit erect. Okay, and when you are ready, please close your eyes. Concentrate on the sounds around you. Maybe you hear in the distance the little river. Maybe you hear the concerts of the happy birds of Goloka Dham. Maybe you hear the airplane, the cough. Just become conscious for a moment. And now breathe in and out by trying to deepen your breath the way you can easily deepen your breath is by exhaling a little longer than you inhale. Whenever an exhale comes, do it longer. As you breathe in a happy, joyous feeling. As you breathe out all the stress, all the heaviness in your body. Fill your body with this wonderful air and empty it out like you empty a jug of water. Empty it out of all the heaviness, the tension, and whatever. Do 5 more rounds like this. A round here is breathing in and breathing out. That's 1 round. Not for chanting Hare Krishna, but for breathing. Now we will together breathe 3 rounds. 1 in and out. In and out. In and out. Now, in your mind's eye, picture a mountain that speaks to you personally, your ideal mountain. Look at it and see how beautiful it is. See the high peaks. Is your mountain one peak or a series of peaks or maybe a high plateau? Does your mountain have snow on it? Now, in your mind's eye, see how your mountain's base, the bottom of the mountain, the base rock, is rooted in the earth, very firm position in the earth. And then see the sides of your mountain, the steep or gently sloping sides. When you feel ready, gently bring your body to the image of the mountain. Your head becomes the peak, your shoulders and arms the sides of the mountains. And where you sit and your legs are the solid rooted base of the mountain. You know the mountain will remain still even though the seasons change one into another. In the same way, try to see yourself as remaining still by connecting to the mountain in your meditation. For a moment, look at your thoughts or your moods, your inner climate. These are like clouds moving by the side of the mountain. You are the mountain, and your thoughts are the changing clouds. When thoughts come, when feelings come, even when emotional storms and crises come over you, you can remain still. Just like the mountain is always stable during the big or small changes. From this still position, where we are not reacting to our own thoughts, from this mountain position, we will now chant the Maha Mantra together. Try to keep yourself still only when it comes to singing and chanting. Sing with your mountain voice. Chant, whatever happens outside, not important. Even thoughts and moods and attitudes are not important. All what is important is the sound of the holy name. Please sing with me now.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, please slowly open your eyes again. I hope this was a beneficial meditation for you. The idea of this particular session was to try to see Krishna around us, and I thought, because we are here in Goloka Dham, let us put you immediately to the task. Let us immediately bring you into nature, where you will immediately be able to make an experience with nature. Now, I have been regularly doing this. I come from a generation where my spiritual master took us out every morning into the parks and the forests which surrounded the temples and did this nature walk, and he would often stop and show us how Krishna was behind the nature.
There were many, many examples, and tomorrow in the lecture I will give you a few more of these examples. For some of you this might be something new, because you may be city people, or just in general it never struck you that you can actually learn from nature many valuable lessons. In modern times even we are afraid of nature. We have sprays for all types of insects, we keep the birds out, we keep the nature out. We live in an unnatural society. But for a devotee it is good to see the Lord in his universal form. I would like to give you a few reading tips which can help you. One is the Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter. There you will find explanations how Krishna is in nature, and was it what? 7, the 7th chapter. There are verses like verse 8. You will also find how Krishna is describing himself in the nature. Can you just help me? Is it the 14th or
15th?
What? 15th. In the 15th chapter. Then Krishna shows himself as the universal form in the 11th chapter of the Gita. A lot come. You can read there about this. And I have personally spoken here as nature, as Shiksha Guru, who shows us to see spiritual subjects. I've taken the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 7, text 38. I request you to read in your own reading time. You can also take these books with you in nature, sit down. You want to hear it again? 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 7th chapter, text 38. Yeah? These are all readings which you can do, and then go into nature and learn. And you will see, you will become an absorbed devotee just by this practice to see Krishna everywhere. You have to learn this, otherwise you will be always a troubled beginner on the spiritual path, who just cannot see Krishna behind working from in various ways. I'm now a little bit sorry because we are a little late. It's all still all right. We will do now an active learning exercise. I request you to find a partner and then walk with that partner to the temple room, and your task will be to discuss what struck you in this session, what you learned in this session. Huh? That is important for you, so that you reflect and don't think it's just a nature walk. It's a walk into enlightenment. Hare Krishna. So also please go those who take yoga lessons, please go immediately to the yoga teacher in the temple room, where Ram Gopal and myself will sweat with all of you. Hare Krishna.